Hi there, and welcome to Swiss Info's program for April 25th. I'm Veronica Devorin-Burton. A group of half-attentive teenagers sits in a darkened room watching a video to this soundtrack. These 18-year-olds are the future of the Swiss Army. The video they're watching shows scenes of destruction, flyover footage of vast lands destroyed by fires and floods, all places where the military might be called in to help. At this orientation day that's mandatory for all Swiss men, the teens are finding out what lies in store for them. Once the video's finished, an instructor explains what happens next. In a few weeks, he says, they'll report to general recruitment, where they'll undergo a series of physical and psychological tests. If they're deemed fully fit for duty, they'll be assigned a post in the Swiss Army, where they'll complete their service. If they don't like the idea of military service, they can apply to do a special kind of community work for a longer time. And if they're deemed unfit for the military, they'll be drafted into the civil protection team. It works on infrastructure projects and also responds in case of natural disaster. The class breaks into groups to learn more about what all of that means. Among them are a couple of women.
I'd maybe like to do something with a weapon. I have no idea what all that stuff is called, but I think it would be interesting to learn about the different kinds of weapons and how you shoot them.
That's 18-year-old Elisa. Her military service and her presence at the orientation day is totally voluntary. Even though every Swiss woman gets a letter when she turns 18 inviting her to join the army if she wants, women make up less than 1% of the Swiss military. Swiss Defense Minister Uli Maurer recently said that more women in the army would motivate the troops. And earlier this year, a prominent military general said the country should consider making service mandatory for women, just like it is for men. That refueled a conversation that's been going on for a long time. How to get more women involved in the army. Right from the beginning of the Army Orientation Day, which started at 8:15 a.m. sharp, it was clear that making women feel welcome at the event was important to the organizers. Five spots at the front of the room were marked reserved for women, and the small female group, all from the same school, got their own welcome in a corner of the room. Everything you hear today is an option for you, but nothing is required, the organizer tells them. Elisa didn't expect that kind of special treatment.
The main surprise was that we were welcomed specially. I expected we'd be treated exactly the same as everyone else. The fact that we had to sit in the front surprised me a bit.
She came here with a group of her friends, all from the same school, which is required to give them the day off for army orientation. Elisa's classmate Achara had the idea to come and convinced all of her friends to join her. She says she thinks women should know what goes on in the army. For her, serving is more about taking on a personal challenge and less about upholding the military traditions of protection and war. Achara got curious when her brother came home from basic training, saying it had destroyed everyone physically and mentally. She's interested in the challenge. Plus, she thinks the army could be a resume builder, especially if she wants to become a policewoman or a pilot. But Achara isn't making any decisions about joining the army now. First, she wants to have a diploma in her hand, and then maybe she'll think about doing something to challenge herself personally. Soon, it's time to head out into the yard to find out what kind of sport tests the recruits will have to do. No one volunteers to demonstrate right away, but eventually one man steps forward reluctantly. He's asked to sit against a wall and throw a large ball as far as he can. Then he has to jump as far as possible on a grid on the pavement. The group tests their balance by standing on one foot and looking at the sky, trying not to move. Everyone gives it a shot, cautiously at first. Then there's giggling as they wobble around. Since 2004, every role in the Swiss military has been open to women with the same requirements as for men, including the same physical tests. Even though they're few in numbers, as many as three-quarters of the women who do sign up for the army end up in leadership roles. One of them is Lieutenant Mona Kröchi. I went to see her at the army barracks where she works, near Lucerne. I take the train from Bern, and I'm there in about an hour and a half. But Lieutenant Kroeke once had to walk from Bern, 100 kilometers through the night, in order to become an officer. It was one of the biggest challenges of her military career, she says.
There were definitely moments where my limits were tested, especially in officers' school. But I never had the feeling it was because I was a woman, because I had my colleagues behind me, and sometimes they also struggled. We just did everything together, and that way we also got through everything. And then I also realized that you can do a lot more than you think you can.
At just 21 years old, Lieutenant Kroeke is responsible for a platoon of soldiers who are learning to use anti-aircraft weapons, located in secret places throughout Switzerland.
I'm responsible for 4 group leaders and 30 recruits, who I lead through basic training. I train them to use the Rapier anti-aircraft weapons system.
Before joining the army, Lieutenant Kroeke did an apprenticeship, but realized that wasn't the career path she wanted to take. She's not sure what she'll do next, probably more school, but she says the military gave her something she couldn't have done anywhere else.
I knew from the beginning that if I did basic training, I would want to continue into the higher ranks. So I went on to officers' school, knowing that I would never have the chance to lead people at such a young age in the civilian world. I decided on a leadership role because you get the whole officers' training, and it opens up a lot of possibilities later on.
I asked whether being a woman ever made things harder for her.
I never had any issues with being excluded or anything because I'm a woman. The men accepted me from the beginning because we're all in the same boat. It didn't take us weeks to trust each other or anything like that. We were all in it together from the start. It was new for everyone. No one knew exactly how things worked. We all helped each other figure out the daily routine, and it never mattered that I was a woman.
Given that her experience has been so positive, I wonder whether Lieutenant Kroeke would support requiring all women to serve in the Swiss Army.
Instead of conscription for women, I'd recommend making the recruitment process mandatory for them. Because I've talked to a lot of women who approached me on the train or wherever and said they would have been interested in serving but didn't take the step to go to recruitment. If you made recruitment mandatory, you'd almost certainly get some more women to join.
The women I talked to at the Army Orientation Day all feel the same way, but for different reasons. 18-year-old Morgan thinks conscription should be made optional for men and for women. She doesn't think it makes sense to require men to go into the military, especially at a time when she doesn't expect Switzerland will be required to go to war. Elisa, who we heard from earlier, also finds it improbable the Swiss will ever go to war again. She thinks there are plenty of men who can serve and also want to serve, so making the army optional for women is enough. And Adhara has read a lot about the topic, which she finds polarizing. Some people say the military isn't necessary, some do. She isn't sure where the truth behind the matter lies. That's why she's come to the orientation day, to try to have an informed opinion. In political discussions about conscription for women, Norway often comes up. That's because the Scandinavian country just became the first in Europe to require that women serve alongside men. I called Norwegian military researcher Anita Scholset to find out how they got to that point.
The main goals of recruiting more women is sort of, you can divide it in two, where the first goal is to increase gender equality. Norway has a tradition of a strong focus on equal rights and duties for men and women. And in 2013, we actually celebrated 100 years of women's right to vote. And men have the rights to paternity leave. And Norwegian public companies are required to have 40% seats reserved for women. And so the Norwegian Armed Forces was the last place with formal inequalities between women and men's rights. So that was sort of the first goal, to increase gender equality. And then the second goal was based on the notion that women may increase operational effectiveness. And so I think Norway's mission in Afghanistan has been especially important in demonstrating that women may be essential for handling a conflict in a society where there is great gender inequalities.
Anita also told me what has to be changed to accommodate the new batch of female recruits, who will start serving this fall.
There has been some amendments with respect to infrastructure, such as female sanitary quarters, etc. Those are the easy amendments, I think, to be made. There is still a lot to be done, and especially with respect to adjusting military equipment to the female body. Just really necessary stuff, such as bulletproof body armor that is made for a female body. Like, I've made interviews with female officers going to Afghanistan where they actually are equipped with bulletproof vests. They're not protecting the way they should be protecting because they're not adapted to the female body. And interestingly, only recently were the women actually provided with female underwear, as opposed to they were only producing male underwear. So for the women to actually have underwear fitted to the female body, they were given a sum of money that was allotted to them purchasing their own underwear. You've made some amendments with respect to infrastructure, but there is still a lot to be done with adjusting the military equipment to another body type.
So will Switzerland adopt conscription for everyone like Norway? Probably not, if the latest poll numbers are any indication. I found out from Swiss military researcher Tibor Schwierzef-Tresch that support among the public for changing the current conscription system has eroded since 2 years ago. Plus, he thinks the Swiss have more conservative attitudes towards the military than Norwegians or other Europeans, making it harder to get broad support for major changes. Back at the orientation day, the instructors have all the recruits look over the little book where they'll have to keep track of their military service. They're firm, telling the teens not to lose it or write the wrong thing. But they're also proud of some decidedly Swiss traditions. Before leaving, everyone gets a military-issued chocolate bar. And every recruit will get a weapon, the instructor tells them, which he'll learn to shoot right away. The Italians issue their recruits wooden guns first, he says. In Germany, every shot fired is carefully written down. But here in Switzerland, you'll learn to shoot in the first week. And you'll get as much ammunition as you need to get the job done. Will the five women seated at the front of the room today be among those shooting off rounds at basic training? That remains to be seen. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the Swiss Army and women's roles within it, visit swissinfo.ch for an in-depth report. Thanks to our studio technician, Daniel Wheeler, for his help. I'm Veronica Devorin-Byrne.